5.311. I had the most extraordinary dream in which the dual nature of Christ was revealed. It took the form of a medieval diptych, in which, on the right, the inner nature of Christ was shown in a picture, nebulous, but resembling Michelangelo's painting of the Delphic Sibyl. Under that right-hand picture was written the word "she," and then the word "secret." The left-hand picture was shown clearly. It was the puppet Pinocchio, as the string puppet, which is to say worked, animated from above. The picture of the puppet was one of a mere model of a human, very wooden, very without intrinsic life. It even had heavy shoes to weight it down, to give it the semblance of substance. In the very center of the frame, below the two pictures and equidistant from both, appeared the three unbroken lines of the trigram Qian, that of creative masculinity. Note. Qian, the creative heaven, one of eight I Ching trigrams. End note. This lay outside the diptych, thereby showing an outward presentation to the world outside of pure unadulterated absolute masculinity. Bear in mind that the female, and I think superior part, called she, was identified also as secret. I understand from this dream that the female component's presence in the dual nature is a secret, probably is to be kept secret. Also, it does not reveal itself in Christ's actions or manner, which guards the secret, of course. That the masculine nature is worked by an inner feminine one is never stated anywhere, or it would cease to be a secret. I can conclude that it is Hagia Sophia that is represented here. I get a lot from this diptych representation. One thing I get is the impression that although gently given, the word secret is an injunction to me to keep my mouth shut. This is the first evidence I have had that there is indeed, as Paul calls it, the element of sacred secrets in esoteric Christianity. What the ICC says, I was initiated into at least one of these sacred secrets, i.e., that Christ's deepest nature is feminine, which is to say, holy wisdom. That he will return is not a secret. Another secret is the relationship between the shamans of Greek culture and Christ the Holy Spirit, which is to say, the theolepsy induced by Dionysus. Specifically, though, I am told to cool it regarding Christ's feminine nature. Secret means secret. I presume the early Christians, who underwent theolepsy by this spirit, knew this, and they did not tell. That it is also the Cumaean Sibyl and Delphic shows a continuity from Greek mystery religions and Greek culture, also not told. So several cultures, three, are involved: Hebrew, Greek, and Roman. I suspect also Iranian, the wise or good mind, Ahura Mazda. Anyhow, in the dream, page 1, there was cautionary material, I think because nothing new was given except the word secret. The rest, I already had been told. Question is, why should it be kept secret? Probably for the obvious reason that people would not now, and wouldn't have in ancient times or medieval times, accepted it. I am thinking of what Wilhelm Reich said about the maternal religions and societies versus the paternal. And then, what I said in my Vancouver speech, my hope for and anticipation of an amalgam of the masculine and feminine deities, which is exactly what the diptych showed Christ to be, with the feminine dominating, which is all right with me. Yes, in that speech I foresaw this, the next cycle of human society, and I was ready for it, pleased and eager. It would combine the best of both, the syzygy, a masculine posture of assertiveness plus feminine love and warmth. The diptych showed a syzygy, all right, masculine outside, feminine within. We would see a man physically, but experience a woman spiritually. You know, the puppet Pinocchio could also have been a ventriloquist's dummy. What a strong image. With the animating entity on the right side, i.e. as pictured there a la fresco, the puppet had no life of its own. On its own, it was inert and silent. Christ on the cross said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Which perhaps meant that at the moment the inner animating spirit left Jesus and rose upward, what other interpretation is possible? Which tells us, does it not, that we have a cupola between the animating spirit and God. It was the Spirit of God, i.e. God's wisdom. I suppose it is more accurate to regard Jesus Christ as a syzygy rather than female as such. But the prior spirit, prior to incarnation, was female, and I suppose is again. We are in both cases talking about Santa Sophia. She. Well, if Santa Sophia, I mean when Santa Sophia again is incarnated, I imagine that another syzygy will be formed, and again, it will be correct to think of it as he-she rather than as with the unincarnated spirit, she only. The human, which is to say masculine side, must not be discounted. This is the bond, the fusion, between the supralunar and the sublunar. This fusion is significant and must not be lost sight of as being such. The animating female spirit exalts the man to the status of God, or anyhow, a god. The Qian trigram, placed dead center, shows the mystery that the fusion results in a masculine outcome, albeit the animating figure's feminine nature. Here is a miracle, this transformation of sexes, which the dream picture shows to be real, i.e., it comes out Qian, not Kun, as one might anticipate. Nothing gives out the secret, nothing. A further thought occurs to me. Is not the Holy Spirit capable of conferring immortality? Yes. Then did not Santa Sophia, the Holy Spirit, confer immortality on the man Jesus, so that he per se still lives? Yes. It must be so, or all our hopes are dashed. Perhaps then the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is still the syzygy. It is not certain. In fact, it is unlikely that, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, the man Jesus is dead, forever dead, because if he is, then so are we too. Wow! I have seen into the nature, essence, of the second incarnation, and in doing so, have a stronger sense of its imminence. The Trinity is a mystery regarding its natures and persons, but, I have been told in my dream, so is the nature of Santa Sophia incarnate. Two persons, or rather, two essences, forming one person. If the Trinity is real, then do we not have a quaternity, with man, Jesus, being the fourth person? This cautionary revelation would not have been necessary if the Spirit weren't about to incarnate, I think. Surely such a cautionary warning would only take place if the second incarnation were imminent, perhaps in my lifetime, although I could commit it to print, which would extend possibly into the future. Anyhow, it concretizes the second advent in my mind as very imminent and very real. The puppeteer speaks through the puppet, who is a mouthpiece then for the god, gods, or God. Is this not what the dream shows? The human component should be a clear and limpid structure through which divine wisdom can express itself unhindered. Its expression should not be vitiated. There is no voice, really, but that of the puppeteer. The puppet has none of his own. An immortal and divine voice speaks from within the man, Jesus. He is assimilated to it, and yet we see only the puppet, the man. He is invisibly transubstantiated. I dreamed last night of a manuscript page of mine in which I had three consecutive paragraphs beginning with the word she, an obvious reference to the she-secret Christ dream. In this more recent dream, I found space on the page to insert a paragraph which did not begin with she. I felt it was wrong always to start with she. And I added erotic material about nipples, etc. Now thinking about this, I remember my first vision preceding all the others, which was of Aphrodite, and had to do with her right nipple. I wonder if there was an elliptical allusion to Aphrodite. Empedocles, in this recent dream. The dream engendered from my own mind purely is still valuable, as it recalls to me what I had forgotten, namely, the vision of the Cyrenaican Aphrodite beyond the golden rectangle door. Does this dream suggest, good Lord, that she is related to, or is, none other than the goddess of love known to the Greeks? Empedocles felt that Aphrodite was the steersman of all Crassoi. Note: Dician plural of Crassus, Greek. End note. This is all very anxiety-producing to me. I add, if so, indeed it would be marked secret, but I appeal to the philosophy of Empedocles to indicate a lofty as well as erotic element to this. He held her to be the ultimate entity drawing things and people together, the star of love, which is how I ended my speech, meaning Christ. As the EB calls her, the generative principle of all life. A mother goddess, not sex. Doesn't the nipple point to this? Nourishing? 5.244. Mark 4.11 says that the parables were intended to confuse and not inform everyone except the disciples. The latter understanding the esoteric meaning, the outsiders getting only the exoteric meaning, which would fail to save them. This was especially true regarding parables about the approaching kingdom of God. I keep forgetting this. How much of the real inner meaning has come down to us? The written Gospels record probably mostly the exoteric parable meanings, not the inner core. Whether we like it or not, it is there in Mark, if not elsewhere, and this favors the view of an elect within the body of mankind, at least so far as Jesus went. Maybe now there is a third covenant, which will include all creation, or anyhow, all men. I am thinking in particular of the grain of wheat sown into the ground to rise again, a mystery theme common to Greek mystery religions, in fact, evidently the basic one. What it really means, to know this, enables the hearer to achieve what is achieved, eternal life. The how is contained, as well as the what. I think that in 374, at the height of despair and fear and grieving, I stumbled into the kingdom, stumbled around for a while and then stumbled back out, none the wiser as to how I got there, barely aware of where I had been, and no idea as to how I stumbled out, and seeking always to find my way back ever since. Shucks. Drat. If it wasn't the kingdom, I don't know what it could be, with its bells and the ladies singing and the void, with the trash in the gutter glowing, and the golden rectangle doorway with the sea and figure beyond, and the moonlight. There were people living there, especially the lady. It was all alive. It had personality. It explained everything to me. Now, I don't see or understand anything. At that time, I could even remember back to my origins, my real origins, the stars. What am I doing here? I forget, but I knew once. Amnesia has returned. The veil has fallen back where it was. The divine faculties are occluded as before. Obviously, I didn't accomplish it. I was given it, since I don't know how to find it again. Man is not as wise as some stones, which in the dark point toward their homes. My soul sunk down in ignorance again. Blind and deaf, ensnared by gross matter, limited. The long, dark night of the soul is a lousy place to be. Heraclitus says the Logos can be heard. My goodness. Heraclitus also says the world, universe, is uncreated, but kept together by the Logos, which I guess is immanent, transcendent. Men do not listen to the Logos nor see it, but are asleep. Soren K. Note: this snippet view of philosopher and Christian writer Soren Kierkegaard, 1813 to 1855, is from the Encyclopedia of Philosophy entry on Existentialism. End note. Soren Kay says that the essence of Christianity is an inward suffering before God, which makes me a Christian, I guess, especially today. The pull of matter is very great. I escaped for only a little while and then fell back further than ever. As Elton John says, I've got my memories. And it did induce some permanent changes in me. Mark says that God can cut short the time of tribulation for the elect before it gets unbearable. Maybe that's what he did in 374. Mark. Those closest to Christ thought he was insane. So his mother and friends came to get him, but he rebuffed them. Shades of Dionysus. Also, that the apostles appeared drunk to bystanders when the Holy Spirit came to them at Pentecost. Thinking about this, I feel rushing back to me many, many experiences around 374 and during the year after. The name Jesus in the Bible opening up to form Zeus Zagreus. The dots on the alb of the saint becoming grapevines. The vine quality of the washing lady's plaque. The dithyram being danced. The article, Dionysus in America, and what it meant to me. Note: Dionysus in America is a 1975 essay on the American counterculture by literary critic Eric Mottram, collected in Blood on the Nash Ambassador, 1989. End note. The imagery of Pindar, root and star. The similarities I noticed between the Bacchae and the Passion Story and Hamlet. The fact that Dionysus is a breaker of prisons and a destroyer of tyrants, e.g. King Pentheus. Christ turning water into wine. Christ as corn god and lunar fertility god. The mystery religions et al. The fact that Dionysus was a god of metamorphosis. The Greek words and aspects of 374. The madness or intoxication I felt. The breakdown of the Nixon gang tyranny. My whole preoccupation with Dionysus during this was Jesus an avatar of Dionysus, an evolution of him via Orpheus into ultimate spirituality. Note: what else was going on in the world in March 1974? As reality's fabric ripped apart in Fullerton, a jumbo jet fell out of the sky outside Paris, killing more than 300 people. An Arab oil embargo produced the most pronounced gasoline shortage ever in America, with cars lined up at stations for miles. And the U.S. Senate voted overwhelmingly to restore the death penalty that the Supreme Court recently had ruled unconstitutional. Overshadowing even these unsettling events was the kidnapping in Northern California of the heiress of a millionaire publishing family by a band of domestic terrorists. Though there is no evidence that Dick shared the rest of the country's fascination with this incident, which took place in his own backyard, the subsequent conversion of Patty Hearst to the radicals' cause sounds like a novel that Dick might have written in the 50s, or might yet write toward the end of his life. Most prominently, virtually all of Richard Nixon's immediate political circle in the White House, including his attorney general and chief of staff, were indicted in the Watergate scandal, which had reached critical mass, and the president himself was named a co-conspirator by a grand jury. To Dick and to the country at large, this was the moment when the Nixon presidency, 5 months before its end, was at its most toxic. S.E. End note.